Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus was beginning his ministry, and our readings today are from the beginnings of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus was there, he could have gone to synagogues all over, or even to the temple itself, to find students of the Torah to be his disciples. He could have gone on a search for keen legal minds or to find those with a fine grasp of the history of God's people. Jesus didn't do that. As Jesus gathered his disciples, Jesus went for the unconventional, the ones in the turtle hat. Jesus went for fishermen and tax collectors, even junior high kids. Because the call of Jesus can seem unconventional, but with that call, Jesus changes the world by grace, by his unconventional grace. You see, the conventional wisdom of Jesus' day would have bet against Jesus calling a tax collector to be his disciple. You see, a tax collector was even worse than a fisherman. Tax collectors were collaborators with the occupying Roman Empire. Tax collectors were told how much money they should collect, and then they were given free rein as to how they would get that done. They had use of Roman soldiers to intimidate. They could actually ask for as much money as they wanted to ask, as long as Rome got theirs. And if you didn't want to pay, or even if you couldn't pay, then the soldiers could step in as enforcers for the tax collector. So tax collectors were not popular. They were seen as traitors. They were cast out of normal society. And so that conventional wisdom would have bet against Jesus, this new peripatetic rabbi, that would have bet against him calling a tax collector as his disciple, because it would send a poor message, if not the wrong message altogether. But in our gospel story today, when Jesus was walking along, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax booth. And I think Jesus saw the entire setup. Matthew with the soldiers, the line of people, all of the grumbling, everything about it. And in spite of all that, or maybe because of all that, Jesus looks at Matthew and says, "Follow me." Now that's surprising enough all on its own. Jesus calling this traitorous tax collector in mid-collecting of taxes. But the most surprising thing that we see in this gospel story is that Matthew got up and followed Jesus. Now I don't know if Matthew left everything behind like Peter and Andrew, but Matthew followed. Now, it doesn't say anything particular in the gospel as to the why Matthew followed, but I think that it might have something to do with being seen as a real person. I'm like, they're not playing the piano. Is everyone all right? I wasn't just hearing things, correct? All right. Oh, goodness, right? I think that Matthew followed because he felt seen as a real person. Too many people around Matthew saw him as less than, as not quite good enough. And Jesus looked at him, and Jesus asked Matthew to follow. Jesus saw Matthew. And he saw something in him, and he wanted Matthew to spend more time with him. Even if what Jesus was doing was trying to put Matthew on a better path only, Jesus wanted to spend time with Matthew. And so he called, Matthew followed, and then Matthew invited Jesus to dinner along with all of his tax collector friends. And Jesus happily accepted. And they go off to Matthew's house for a time of food and fellowship. Conventional wisdom of the day looked down on Jesus going to that meal with Matthew and all of his sinner friends. So when the Pharisees arrive, the Pharisees, those kings of conventional wisdom, they tut-tutted and then asked why in the world Jesus would spend time with tax collectors and sinners. Now Jesus hears the question. And he gives them this metaphor, this image, this analogy, whatever you want to call it. If you're ill, you need a physician. If you're not, then don't worry. But Jesus goes on and says, if you're weak in faith, if you're weak in life, you need grace. And then Jesus encourages the Pharisees to brush up on their own mercy and grace, because that's the way of God. Jesus' call to Matthew was grace. Jesus' defense of going to that meal and its participants, that's all grace. Even Jesus' answer to the Pharisees is grace, as Jesus is trying to direct them away from judgment to mercy, away from casting someone out to welcoming in love. It was all unconventional grace. And then throughout the remainder of our gospel story today, we see Jesus' unconventional grace reaching out in care and concern with love and hope. The most conventional thing that happened in the entire story is that a leader of the synagogue comes to speak to Jesus. Since Jesus was a teacher, any leader in the synagogue would have every right to come and speak to Jesus. But this leader doesn't come and ask questions that you would expect from a leader of the synagogue. When he comes, he doesn't ask about interpretations of the Torah, and he isn't asking what Jesus' take is on the debate concerning widows and orphans. This leader comes and he pleads for his daughter. His daughter. And once again, conventional wisdom placed children on a very low rung when it comes to the concern of people around. And daughters, girl children, they were even lower. And yet this leader comes and begs Jesus to save his daughter. She was dead, and in his heart was broken. But regardless of all of that, and regardless of what the world would think, he begs Jesus to come, and Jesus went with him to bring the love and care, the comfort, and the grace of God to this man, to his daughter, to everyone. And now while they were rushing off to that leader's house, a woman who had been ill and bleeding for 12 years comes to touch Jesus' cloak. Again, women were not highly thought of, and blood would make anyone and everyone unclean just a little touch. And now this woman wanted to touch Jesus. Unthinkable. Unheard of. And when she touched the tiniest part of Jesus' cloak as she could, Jesus looked at her, and he smiled, and he says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." And he sent that woman home with joy. Jesus didn't ignore this woman. He was not offended that she had come to touch his cloak. Jesus wasn't worried about being made unclean. His unconventional grace flowed out to her to bring her healing and comfort and joy. And then finally, after that brief interruption, Jesus makes it to the leader's house only to be confronted by a cadre of professional mourners with flutes and drums and wailing. I mean, wailing. They were professionals. They were good at it. Now, the leader had gone off to go find Jesus and find help and something that could be done, and the mourners had come to begin the grief. Now, when Jesus commented to these people that the girl was only sleeping, they laughed at him. Common sense does kind of tell us that dead is dead is dead, and it's not sleep. But Jesus went inside took the girl's hand, and she stood up, and she hugged her parents. She might have been on the lowest part of the lowest rung on the ladder of importance for some people. She might have just been a gig for the flute players and the wailers, but for Jesus, she was important. She was real. She was to be cared for. She was to be cared about. And Jesus' unconventional grace reached out again in love and care, bringing comfort and hope. This is the way that Jesus operates. He isn't really influenced by the common sense of the day or the conventional wisdom of his time or any time. Jesus came to help the lost and the outcast, as well as those are on the inside if they would only ever listen. Jesus came to show that clean and unclean were not as important as love for neighbor and care for those who had been cast out. Jesus wants us all to know that death is nothing to frighten us, and that the love of God is bigger than anything. By this unconventional grace, even we have hope for our daily lives in Jesus. When we are trapped by our sin, imprisoned by the machinations of the world around us, Jesus is with us to bring that grace, that peace, to bring the hope we need to struggle on, the hope we need to try and try and try again, the hope we need to love as we have been called. When the world around us wants to tell us that we are weak, unwanted, ill, and that no one cares, remember that Jesus sees you, cares for you. When the world around us wants to cast us out, to leave us as lost and alone, remember that we are not alone. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with us in our trials and our triumphs, when we feel like the least or when we are lost. God is with us with love and comfort, and with a call to share that love and to sow the seeds of God's kingdom as we are able. Jesus loves you and calls you to join in bringing God's dream to life. Amen.